What a blessing to have you guys here. Third time. I told Nathan, I said he's got three times to get it right. These are our missionaries, and we've been supporting them for over 10 years. They're missionaries with YWAM in Montana, but they go to several parts of the world. Nathan is going to be sharing with us. We have known Nathan for probably about 18 years, our church has, when he was single, and he was the human resource director at the YMCA many years ago, and he was part of our church back then. And then Betsy moved into Grand County. No one knew what we were about to be in store for. And Nathan and Betsy met, and as we've said here before, someone once said that a man is incomplete until he's married. Then he's finished. And Nathan was finished when he met Betsy. And God brought them together, and they began to become part of our church. And then we got into some discussions, and they really felt a calling to the mission field, and off they went. And they've been with YWAM for several years now. So I'm going to let you guys share a little bit. And
you don't want to keep competing with it?
No, I've been competing with kids most of my life. Okay, thank you. Let's welcome them this morning, shall we?
Well, good morning, everybody. It really is our joy and our privilege to be with you guys this weekend. Thank you so much for having us. We are here with our whole family, so all four of our kids. Max is 7 and Johanna is 5. James is 3 and Kate is 1.5. And I'll give you a guess which one is our most strong-willed. Probably the only one that's left in here this morning. So, but it is such a gift for us to be with you guys. We are up in northwest Montana, right in Lakeside, which is just south of Glacier National Park, which feels so close to where you guys are. And yet it's so daunting for us to make the journey down here with all six of us. But we're glad that we did. It has been, as Pastor Doug said, just over 10 years that we've been with YWAM Montana, and that means 10 years that you guys have faithfully prayed for us and supported us, and we are so thankful for the opportunity to really come and say thank you. It is a gift for us to be in partnership with you guys, and so we are grateful for all that you've done to make that possible. We wanted to give a quick update, but rather than just tell you everything that we've done in the last 2 or 3 years since we've been with you, we wanted to kind of give a big picture overview of what we actually do with YWAM Montana, so you have a better idea of what we're kind of doing in our day-to-day and what you guys have been a part of. So we have been with YWAM since 2008, really. Nathan and I lived here for a year after we were married, and then we started to feel the call to go into missions. And so we prayed about it and talked to Pastor Doug about it and kind of made that jump, and we've never looked back. And it's just been such a gift for us. When we first started our DTS, our heart was really, we started to see how much we loved the outdoors and how much we wanted to bring the outdoors into discipleship and what could we do with that. And God started to grow a vision in our hearts for the Endurance DTS, where we take students into the backcountry and we train and equip them with backcountry and mountain skills that can translate into the third world and enable our students to really go to some of the more difficult places that maybe an average person might not be able to. And then the second part of that goes with our heart really to reach the outdoor industry with the gospel. And so our students, kind of to put it all practically speaking, our students come with us for 12 to 15 weeks in Montana, and we take them out for a couple of weeks at a time and do various trips. And then they might go to Nepal on their outreach and go trekking into the kind of outer villages in Nepal and kind of the remote places where average outreach team might not be able to go. And they can reach those places and distribute Bibles and be a part of this kind of great commission of what's going on right now called End Bible Poverty Now. And along the way, they can meet other trekkers and travelers and adventurers and reach them with the gospel as well. So it's kind of a twofold thing. And that's been our dream, and that's what we've seen happen over the last 10 years. And little did we know that God had so much more in store for us. And so we've been able to kind of grow our outdoor ministry department with YWAM Montana, and we started other schools and programs along the way. And so we have things like the Endurance Summer of Adventure, which is geared towards high school students and does the exact same thing. And we have our outdoor ministry program, which is geared towards people that want to start their own outdoor ministries. And so we equip them with backcountry certifications and in-depth skills and enable them to start their own outdoor ministries. And then we've got Endurance Titus Project, which trains and equips Bible teachers to go again to these remote villages and train and equip pastors that might not have access to trainings like that. We've done that as a family for 10 years. And in the last few years, as we've added more and more kids to our family, we started to see that maybe one of us should focus on that and one of us should focus on our family. And so really Nathan's primary role now is to steward the outdoor ministry program with Wyoming Montana. And so he trains and equips our school and program leaders. He has the opportunity to dream new dreams with outdoor ministry and really start some of these new programs with Endurance Outdoor Ministries and really equip other people to kind of grow their individual schools. And that's kind of the heart of what Nathan has been doing. Since I've stepped back from outdoor ministries a little bit, I've stepped into our family more full time. And then as an extension of that, I've taken on a new role overseeing all of our children and youth programming with Wyoming Montana. And so we have about 150 staff in Wyoming, Montana, and about 90 children of our staff. And so we have all the way from high school down to our newest baby born just a couple weeks ago. And so we run different programs for them, including our campus preschool, which is geared towards our 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds to enable their parents to serve at least part-time within Wyoming, Montana. And so I help oversee our preschool and run our child care and everything like that. And so when I took that on, I was told it was a really easy task, and it turned out to not be so, but it's really been a gift too, because it really shepherds our kids' hearts, and it's been a real privilege for me to be able to do that and really enable Nathan to lean into outdoor ministry. Our theme for our family, really, as we've known you guys and as we've been in missions, is our heart for Cambodia, and we still continue to go there. Over the last few years, we've been able to do a lot of trips. Nathan's been able to do a lot of trips on his own, but our last big family trip was a trip to Cambodia where we taught in a DTS equipped school, which is meant to train and equip leaders of leaders. And so we had a class full of students from Cambodia, from Laos, from Vietnam, from Myanmar, from Thailand. And we spent 8 weeks training and equipping them to go out into the nations of Southeast Asia. And so it's a totally different experience for us. Rather than doing outreach on our own, we were training and equipping others to go to their own nations and really reach Southeast Asia with the gospel. And what a privilege it was to see what God is doing there and to see other people really take up the call to love their own nations that way. As Nathan and I were talking over the last few days, and especially last night and this morning, just reflecting on all that we've been able to do and all that we've been equipped and empowered to do, our hearts are just so thankful for you guys, because Winter Park Christian has been really our primary sending church. You guys are the ones that helped us discern our call, that helped us figure out where to go and what to do. Pastor Doug helped us figure all these things out, and we couldn't be more thankful for what you guys have poured into us. We recognize that over the last 10 years, so many of you have made sacrifices to allow us to do what we feel like God has asked us to do. And so we just want to say thank you. We feel so loved and cared for and sent from this place and these people. And our kids were saying this morning, they're like, how many services do we get to go to? And we said, 3. You get to go to 3 because you get to meet all of this family that loves us and prays for you guys and knows you guys. Nathan was trying to prep everyone. If someone says hi to you, just say hello back and know that they're praying for you. And they probably feel like they know you, even though you don't. And it's just such a gift to feel known that way. As we were talking last night after we left, we just can't even imagine what it would be like to not have you behind us. And there are so many of our colleagues that have shared they don't have churches that have sent them out. They don't know people like that, that really are caring for them. And we just know what a blessing it has been in our own lives. And so it's hard for us to really express what that has meant and how that carries us on, but it does. And so know that our hearts are filled with gratitude, and we consider everything that we've done an extension of what you are doing here. And so our heart is to say thank you. Thank you for sending us, for caring for us, for training us, and for praying for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, good morning. As Betsy said, it is so good to be here. We've been having a lot of fun in Grand County the last few days and pointing out all the different houses we lived in to our kids. And wow, you guys moved around a lot. Yeah, it happens in the seasonal industry and up here. And it was a privilege to be at men's breakfast with Ed Jackson and some of the men that are here this morning. I have fond memories of going to men's breakfast, 10, 12 years ago. And yesterday was great because I just came up the stairs and Ed had my breakfast ready for me. I didn't have to bike. I didn't have a car at first when I moved to Grand County, so I'd bike over to Ed's to begin with. And that took a lot of energy. And I prefer just getting out of bed and going upstairs. I'm grateful to Pastor Doug for introducing the fact that, yes, I don't often preach, and when I do, it is overseas, and I usually have a translator. I always have a translator, and I am quite used to having those pauses where I can gather my thoughts and think about the next thing I'm going to say. So you'll have to forgive me if I do that this morning, and it is not an indication of any kind of lack of preparation, because the stories I want to share this morning are very near and dear to the heart of Betsy and I this morning. We received an invitation from Pastor Doug and Glenn. Would you consider, more than just sharing an update like Betsy just did, would you consider bringing the message to all three services? And that was quite daunting to receive that. And we don't take that lightly, but we prayed about it, and we feel like the Lord said, yes, you need to receive that invitation, because there is a story going on that you are familiar with, and I want you to share it at Winter Park Christian Church this morning. So that's my heart, and I'm going to do my best to be faithful to that. And here's what this story is about. This isn't a story of just our life. This isn't just a story of what's happening in global missions, but this is really the story of what is happening on earth as it is in heaven. This is the story of in 2019, the gospel of Christ going forth, the Great Commission being accomplished, of people of God living by the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. It's the season of faithful disciples heeding the words of Jesus in John 10:10, where he says, I've come that you would have life and life abundant. And the body of Christ saying, yes, I will stand at my full height. I will not shrink back. I will be a fully functioning Christian. I will discern wisdom. I will walk wisely. I will serve selflessly. I will act fiercely. I will stand for truth. We are seeing this all over the world. I am sure you see it in your body here in Winter Park. I hope you see it in the lives of your friends and your loved ones. And really, as we were praying about this message, I don't think what I'll share is totally revolutionary or anything very new. Because I really pray and hope that as I share, you'll be able to say, well, that really resonates with what I see happening over there. And it's so good to know that it's also happening over here. And I saw it happen last week, and I believe it's going to happen next week as well. So this is the bigger story of what God is doing. As we get into our text this morning, would you just pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your presence this morning and to look at your word, to worship together, and to worship in this place, in the mountains, the Colorado Rocky Mountains. God, please be with us, and would your spirit lead us and guide us in this time. In your name, amen. So our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, and I'm going to read that for us. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We're going to talk about that this morning. And I want to read verses 37 and 38 from the NIV translation as well. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." In YWAM, we have a lot of acronyms. Everything is boiled down to an acronym. YWAM is Youth with a Mission. We have lots of catchy phrases and slogans. Our vision statement is to know God and to make him known. We've adapted that in Montana. We say, whatever it takes to know God and make him known together. And our mission statement is, together we commit to the communication of the gospel by training, sending, supporting, and being missionaries. These are important statements. These are important things. They guide us in our day-to-day decision-making, where we focus our priorities. YWAM in general, as you may know, is rather decentralized. There's no international headquarters. And YWAM Montana, however, has been called to be a little bit more structured on our systems, on our approaches to outreach. But there's another phrase that really keeps us in check to continue to go back to the Lord day after day, and that's the phrase, just beginning. And it's the sense that while we know what we're called to do, we never want to get too full of ourselves, and we never want to think that we've somehow arrived. And there's this word, just beginning, which is just kept afresh in us every day so that we continue to seek the Lord. Let me give you an example of this. We have 6 target nations that we've had for a number of years. Our ministry is 34 years old up in Montana. We actually operate out of an old Air Force base. You probably know that YWAM locations refer to themselves as bases. We really are one. We operate out of it was built in 1959, commissioned in 1960 as a radar station during the Cold War in Lakeside, Montana. And about 12 miles up the road, there's a radar station, and the airmen would go up there for a week at a time and monitor the satellites and monitor for ICBMs coming over the polar ice cap. So this was in the 60s, and in 1985, YWAM Montana purchased the property. We have 27 officer houses and dormitories and a cafeteria and a little 3-on-3 wood gym, wooden floor gym. It used to be a bowling alley. They got rid of it. I'm still upset about that. I think my missions experience would be complete if I could bowl every day. But for as long as we've had this ministry happening in Montana, we've had target nations or focus nations, and we have 6 of them. And about 5 years ago, the Lord was speaking to us in our strategic planning time that we were really to focus our resources and our outreaches, a lot of our energy and effort towards supporting these nations exclusively. And so we've been trying to be faithful to do that. And we've seen amazing fruit from that. New partnerships, new ministries launched in these nations. We've really just played a small part in what God is doing. But as we wrap up this 5-year target nation focus this spring, we have realized that God is saying, I'm just beginning to show you what I want to do in Nepal, Cambodia, Thailand, Taiwan, India, Ukraine. You guys have no idea what I'm up to. Can anyone relate to that? That sometimes we think we know what God's asking us to do, and we're on a track, and he says, oh, you have no idea how big this is going to get or how significant this is going to be. So we're going through this corporately. I share this to set the stage for the most significant thing that God is doing. And that is, he is building a people right now in Montana. And he's doing it by building a building. So I just want to share what this looks like and see if this can resonate. Even as I got a tour of the new building yesterday, I was just thinking, wow, what kind of journey did God take the church through to do this? 16,000 volunteer hours, I heard. It is a beautiful facility. But what was the journey? What did the prayer look like for that? What were the hearts? What was the heart attitude as this is happening? What was the vision that went along with it? So in Montana, we're building a new 20,000 square foot readiness center, as we call it. And the vision is that young people would come in, they would be trained and sent out. And it kind of mirrors an airport terminal to a degree. And it's nice and it's comfortable, but not too nice, too comfortable, because we really do believe in training and sending people. We don't want to be the love boat. We want to be a deep sea fishing vessel on the Bering Sea. We really do. And we want to invite people to come in for rest and respite and get recharged, but we want to be sending people back. So this readiness center has been something that the Lord has been speaking, you need to build. We also have a very practical need in the fact that we have over 150 staff, 90 children on that staff team, and in the fall about 135 students. And our lecture hall in our old cafeteria just can't handle that size anymore. We literally are spilling out the doors, which is interesting in Montana because winter is very long, much like here in Colorado. And so the Lord's been leading us and guiding us in this. And we'll be able to feed 500 people and seat 1,000 for worship. We haven't even been able to gather together our whole community in our greater Lakeside, Montana community. So God said, you guys need to build this building. Well, the way we normally build is we build as we go. And that takes a long time. However, the Lord's put us on this fast track, and He invited us to pursue finances and a capital campaign in a whole new way, way outside of our box. We hired a general contractor for the first time. That we've never done that before. It's amazing how fast things get built when you do that, though. I recommend that for us. That's been a really positive thing. But the most significant thing, as maybe cool and flashy as some of that could sound, at least that's been my heart at times. Like, yeah, 500 people, 1,000 people. The most important thing that I wanted to share this morning is that God's been building a people. And that hasn't always been easy. It's been humbling. It's been terrifying. And we knew that God was doing it, and we knew that He wanted us to have the right heart attitude. We have so many examples in Scripture of when God is building things and preparing people to enter a new season. We can look at the wandering in the desert for 40 years and see the heart work that God was doing. So we know that heart and attitude is important. But in the last few months, God has been accelerating that. And a colleague of mine, he woke up in the middle of the night a few months ago, and he felt like the Lord was speaking to him, saying, "This building is almost ready to be done. It is an inanimate object, and it is more ready than you are to walk into the next season." And my friend, in his humility, he got down on his knees, he repented, he said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I am not ready." And he brought this story to us as a leadership team as well, and we were praying as a council. And we were asking the Lord, "Lord, is this also a bigger word to our whole community? Have we been taking things for granted? Have we not been pressing in as you've called us?" And the Lord was very quick to say, "No, it is almost ready. And I am building a people, but there is more to do." And so this is what's happening. This is the Lord's gentle nudge. Right relationships. I have never seen a season in the body of Christ that I am seeing where people are walking in right relationship with one another. In Matthew 5, before Matthew 9, Jesus talks about what it looks like to be in right relationships with our brothers and sisters. We have people in our community who are saying, I used to carry bitterness and offense. I'm choosing to move forward with an unoffendable heart. We have seen the beauty of repentance in the midst of our community like I've never seen before. We had a strategic planning time about a couple months ago, and our department leaders, they would start giving their report of what God is doing and what their vision is by simply saying, "I'm sorry that I've had a skeptical attitude. I'm sorry to this person for when they presented last year that they were gonna launch 30 people into this particular ministry. I rolled my eyes and said, yeah, right." And we saw this start at this leadership level. And then it flowed into our corporate time of prayer and fasting with all of our staff and our students. And sometimes I get a little nervous as a leader in ministry. You give a microphone to someone or a platform, and sometimes you don't know what they're going to say. And the Lord was leading us into this time to repent. And I'm thinking, "Lord, how is this going to go?" And let me just share what some of these prayers looked like of our students and our staff. And we were in a room kind of like this and just quiet before the Lord. And one after another, these are the kind of prayers that went out. "Lord, please forgive me for shrinking back. Lord, please forgive me for seeking a comfortable life and avoiding trials and suffering and discomfort. Lord, please forgive me for not being obedient to what you called me to. You called me to go 5 years ago, and I haven't gone yet. Lord, please forgive me for living in fear. Lord, please forgive me for thinking less of myself, for not seeing what you see, and thinking that I have less value." And we got to minister to one another and lift up your heads, you who have been justified, you who have been saved by grace. It was a beautiful time. This season of God getting us ready, people are saying, "You know what? I used to be a distrustful person, cynical, but I am going to choose to trust. When a decision's made that I don't fully understand, I'm going to trust that it was made in the fear of the Lord, with wisdom, with counsel, with guidance, and I'm going to assume the best." And when these things started happening, like Pastor Doug was saying, vision started to flourish. And there are so many new ideas, new initiatives, new innovations on how we can use technology, on how we can use the things at our disposal to be strategic in reaching people with the gospel. And one of the most significant things is centers around faithfulness of following Jesus. We're seeing people who are committing themselves to holy living, saying, this is what culture says. This is what the Word of God says. And I choose the Word of God. I choose to walk holiness. Holiness, we know, means set apart and different. To take action and really standing on the Word of God as absolute truth. I'll never forget, I was telling Pastor Doug, he was standing up here. This must have been 12 or 13 years ago, and I remember him holding up the Bible, hold up my iPhone, and he said, do we believe that this is the absolute truth, the Word of God? And I had grown up in a Christian home, but that day I was cut to the heart. And I think of that often in this day and age where there's compromise being made to the Word of God. And I think of Pastor Doug, and I just praise God that he's the pastor of Winter Park Christian Church and that he's always been bold to do that. This season of getting people ready for what he has, it's been a season of obedience, of people saying yes, the simple yes, which we know looks radical to the world. And finally, the celebration of everyone's gifts. God has put different gifts, passions, interests in everyone's heart, and the body of Christ coming together in its fullness, in its richness, is the celebration of those gifts. And we need all of them. You need all of them. And so we've just been trying to make space for some people who aren't maybe as comfortable stepping out and stepping forward, say, you know, you have a gift of hospitality. You have a gift of service. You have a gift of preaching or speaking, and we need all of it in this season. So we're just beginning. We're just beginning to understand what God wants to do in us and through us. He's been building a people as he builds a building, and it begs the question, to what end? What's he getting us ready for? And really the answer seems to be because the harvest is ready, as we read this morning. Jesus said it was ready 2,000 years ago, and he's saying today, it is ready, YWAM Montana. You need to make sure that you are ready as well. And so my question for us this morning is, could the work that God's doing in your own life today be something that is very directly preparing you for harvest in some way, shape, or form? And we're going to come back to that here in a little bit. About 6 weeks ago, I got to go to Orlando, Florida to be with a number of other YWAMers from 25 different bases around the country. And it was an opportunity for us to sit at the feet of the mothers and fathers. And we see this described in Malachi 4:6 in the Bible. And many of you know Peter Warren from YWAM Denver, and he was there as one of the older generation in YWAM who could impart wisdom and guidance and tell the stories to a younger emerging generation. And as we talked and as we built relationships and networked and had just had time in prayer and worship together, we started to see what God had been doing in Montana at our campus was happening all over the country. This was a gathering of North American leaders. And some of my friends were saying, yeah, you know what? We just kind of scrapped our whole daily routine, and we're starting every morning in prayer and worship. And out of that, repentance is happening like we've never seen before. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, that same thing's going on up here in Montana. Yeah, that's going on in Yosemite, California. Yeah, that's happening down in Orlando, Florida. Okay, God, you have my attention. What is going on here? And at the end of that week, I went to a stadium event. I'd never been to a stadium event before. It's still kind of interesting to say. I went to a stadium event, but I did at the Camping World Stadium. It used to be the Citrus Bowl. You might know it as that in Orlando, Florida. And it was a gathering of 58,000 people, 40,000 people at the highest point. People were coming and going throughout the day. And it wasn't just a YWAM function or a missions get-together, but it was multi-organizational. And it was people coming together to say, we are ready to take action. There was worship. There were speakers. Francis Chan spoke. And the day started with Matthew 9:38. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. And there was this invitation, which 18,000 people responded to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And there's a 40-day fast and prayer time going on right now. And people are fasting and praying in some way, shape, or form for that specific prayer to send out workers into the harvest. It was a 12-hour event, and the day built upon itself. And in my heart for sharing this morning, I want to share about some of the different harvest fields. And this gathering really articulates some of these harvest fields that we're seeing happen in North America and all over the world. And I also wonder, Grand County, and I know it to be true. But let me share some of these with you. There were commitments made to reach every neighborhood in the U.S. with the gospel. And there was a statistic, I don't always like to throw statistics out, but this one really stuck to me. If every professing Christian in America were to share the gospel with 12 other people, everyone would hear the good news. I thought, wow, only 12 people? I can do that, maybe. Actually, it's quite challenging in rural Montana. We have about 1 million people, and everybody lives far away. But it got my wheels turning. There were commitments made to reach every high school in the U.S. with the gospel. Seeing high schools, seeing universities as mission fields that are ripe. And there were testimonies given of organizations that are working in these specific spheres, in these specific areas. And they were so encouraging. And all you could say was, wow, that is ripe for the harvest. This was amazing. On that day, February 23rd, an initiative and a commitment was launched to place 1 million foster children and orphans into permanent homes all around the world in 1,000 days. It's called 1 Million Home. And again, stories of what God is doing, pleading the cause of orphans and placing them in loving homes. And then the fifth area was the nations, which is near and dear to our heart. And there were 60 different organizations there set up around the stadium so that as people got water and some food, they could go to a booth and they could see where they could get plugged in. And right there in that day, 5,000 people said, send me, I want to go, and signed up for short-term missions training. It was remarkable. I had never seen anything like it. But similar to what I've already shared, the day focused on holiness, on repentance. It's awkward to get down on your knees in a football stadium, but people did it. There was a commissioning of African-American missionaries. That was probably the most impactful thing of the day. And there was also a time of prayer for pastors in America, and it was such a privilege to pray for our church leaders as they lead and guide and give wisdom and direction to the church in North America. It was all about seeing the Great Commission being fulfilled. And we are seeing these harvest fields all over the world that are just so ripe to go out and preach that good news. Stepping out a little bit bigger, there's an initiative right now globally called End Bible Poverty Now. And it's a threefold focus of Bible distribution, Bible translation, and Bible engagement. As Betsy mentioned, teaching Bible teachers how to teach the Bible. It's a very collaborative effort. The Jesus Film Project, Wycliffe, American Bible Society, YWAM, our part is to throw Bibles in our backpacks and to trek them into places. And we've adopted different regions in Nepal. But this is a Body of Christ global initiative. And it's a real privilege to talk about it. And we really do have the technology and the commitment and the number of people, the resources, where every home in the world could have a gospel or a portion of the Bible, a New Testament in their own language. We haven't been able to say that before, but this is the time. This is part of the harvest field. I can't be up here this morning and not talk about Cambodia, because our heart burns so much for Cambodia as a family. And it is exciting what is happening there. And the best way to describe what's going on in Cambodia is to look at what was happening in South Korea 60 years ago. So I'm going to read from YWAM Cambodia's website of what their heart is. 60 years ago, God took the nation of South Korea, which was coming out of war, was highly culturally Buddhist and one of the poorest nations in Asia, and changed that nation in one generation. We believe that God wants to do a similar thing in this generation in Cambodia. The Khmer find themselves in the same place as South Korea 60 years ago, and as God moved, everything has changed in Korea, as they are now one of the wealthier nations in the world, over 40% Christian, and Korea is the second highest sending nation of Christian missionaries in the world. As the body of Christ responded to God's heart for Korea, God transformed a nation in one generation. We believe that God's heart in this generation is for Cambodia. The only question is, will the body of Christ rise up? Change a nation, change a generation, change a nation. And I am so excited to share that we have Cambodian brothers and sisters who are missionaries. And if you picture Southeast Asia as a wheel with a hub and spokes, we have Cambodian missionaries going out all over Myanmar, Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, China, India. It is happening. Cambodia is an ascending missionary nation. And the harvest is ripe there. And here's another example of that. Every day, 500 students come to what's called the Youth Development Center to learn English. And YWAM has been working with the government and English teaching organizations to develop a government-recognized English training certification program. So they can graduate with a certificate of English that's recognized by the government, which helps them get jobs, improve their quality of life. But they also have the opportunity to hear the gospel at the Youth Development Center. And every day, hundreds of young Cambodians are coming to hear the good news. The country itself, over 80% are under the age of 30. That's due to the genocide and the Pol Pot regime. But this is a generation that is hungry, and the harvest is ripe. The last two harvest fields I want to just mention briefly. We know that there's a refugee crisis going on in our world. It really is a crisis. And many times we hear about the negative aspects of that and the challenges. I want to bring a little light to that this morning. One little exception we made to this five-year target nation focus recently was to send an outreach team to Greece. And our students had the opportunity to work with refugees from nations that are opposed to the gospel, closed to the gospel, and downright dangerous in war zones. And these refugee people from these nations were able to hear the name of Jesus for the first time, and they were able to see and read the Bible for the first time. And so we see with this refugee crisis, there's a harvest field as well. And the final one, which I think probably we can resonate with together, is this outdoor industry and the seasonal outdoor industry. In Montana, the outdoor industry makes up the largest segment of our economy right now. And young people who are climbers, hikers, trekkers, travelers on the journey from point A to point B are also on a spiritual one. They're on a seeking journey. I know for myself, when I was a seasonal employee and I bounced back and forth between Colorado and Michigan for ski seasons and summer seasons, I was on a journey myself. I knew the Lord, but in getting to work at the YMCA and all of our seasonal employees as well, just realizing that there are people who want answers. They want truth. They want to know what a purpose is for their life. And so there's just such an opportunity in that harvest field as well. So a question to ask is, well, what does the harvest look like in your life? What are you involved in? What are you involved with locally? What are you involved with that might be outside of Colorado? Can you identify with maybe some of the things that I shared this morning? Regardless of the harvest, God really is equipping and preparing all of us to go into the field. And that's my last section I want to talk about this morning. The answer to this prayer. Lord, send workers into the harvest. Pray unto the Lord of the harvest. And friends, I think you kind of know where I'm going. We know that the answer to these prayers many times is us. It really is. It took me a long time to realize that, though, because I like comfort and I like neatness, and following Jesus is messy sometimes. And one of the things we have a value in YWAM is to do first, then teach. And in our discipleship training schools, we try to teach our young people to hear God, to obey, and to never give up. And we do this through intercessory prayer. So it could be a topic, it could be a natural disaster has happened, maybe somewhere in the world, and we want to pray into that situation. Lord, we want to pray this morning, what's on your heart for what's going on, for this situation, for what's happening? And Lord, please speak to us. What do you have to say? Lord, please reveal your heart. And so we sit and we wait, and our students are required to do this for 3 hours a week, which can be challenging. And the Lord speaks, and we receive his revelation. But then you have to take the next step and say, God, what does this mean? What do I do? What does this mean to us here and now? And what's the bigger picture of what you're doing? But the most dangerous part of prayer I found is the last part, which is, God, what do you want me to do about it? That's a big question at 8:30 in the morning when you just rolled out of bed on a Monday and you're in corporate prayer and worship. And I get on my students about that all the time. You guys, we have to be willing to ask. And the Lord's been saying, oh, Nathan, have you been willing to ask lately? What can you do to be the answer to the prayer? Oof, some personal heart work. I was curious if this passage was similar to that of when we pray and ask God to do something, and he brings it back around and says, you do something. And so I asked my neighbor who studies Greek and teaches Greek, and I was curious about the original language of how this would have been presented to the disciples. Pray unto the Lord of the harvest to send workers. And as I shared last night, it's dangerous territory to talk about language when you don't know anything about it, really. And I've always been advised, don't preach or teach on Greek and Hebrew if you don't. But I'm going to bend that a little bit this morning. So I talked to my neighbor who teaches Greek, and he was saying that a very accurate translation or an acceptable translation to what Jesus was saying and the way that the verbs and the subjects are put together in this particular passage, it would be appropriate to say that Jesus was saying to his disciples, pray to the Lord to send workers out and allow your prayers to be answered by your own actions and responses, where the prayer actually affects the person who's doing the praying. Be the answer to your prayers. That's very likely what Jesus was saying. And we could see that too, because shortly after this passage, Jesus sends them out, right? He sends them out to do some harvesting. When Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago, the harvest was ripe. We see this in Matthew leading up to chapter 9. Because everywhere Jesus went, there was teaching, there was healing, there was the kingdom of God moving forward, there was a young girl raised from the dead. In some sense, as I read it, I read this, it seemed easy. It seemed so natural. We see the disciples go out and do the same thing. And so think about harvest for a minute. Whenever you harvest anything, I'm not a farmer or a rancher. I try to garden. Montana's growing season doesn't help me very much with that. But one thing we have are raspberries. We have heaps of raspberry bushes in our yard. They were there before we moved in. And when they're ripe, as with any fruit or vegetable, they just slide right off the branch, right? Now, my kids like to pick them at any time of the year and throw them at me. Right, Jojo? And green tomatoes, too. She wanted to make sure that I said that today. I didn't say green tomatoes yesterday, but they like to pull the fruit or the vegetable at any time. And if it's green, it's perfect for throwing at Dad or each other. But these raspberries, when they're ripe, they just slide right off. And that's a beautiful picture, I think, of what Jesus is talking about. He's done that heavy lifting for us. He's sowed seeds, he's ripened fruit, and he said, it's time now to go. It can be pretty daunting to hear this message. I see fear very prevalent in people, young people I work with. I think that the reason the most frequent command in Scripture of angels, prophets, of Jesus is do not be afraid. It's for a reason, because the enemy would love to incapacitate us with fear. And yet our Lord and Savior says, do not be afraid. So as we consider God getting us ready for a harvest, as we consider what different harvest fields look like, and as we consider that we perhaps are to be the answer to prayers and for breakthrough, let me finish with some encouragement. Let's continue to pray for harvesters, for laborers to go out. Let's pray for people to rise up, for us to rise up as Isaiah did and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Even like Samuel, just to be willing to say, "Lord, speak, for your servant is listening." Let's pray for courage to have that posture. Let's remember that our lives are hidden in Christ. As Pastor Doug said this morning, we do not die, but we live in Christ. The Spirit guides us into seemingly impossible situations, tasks and actions, things that we know we can't do in our own strength. We know the enemy wants to come and steal and kill and destroy, but we know that Jesus has said, "I have come that you would have life and life abundant." And let's remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord," there's that word again, labor, "is not in vain." So consider for a moment, what's the next thing God is asking you to do? Is it a simple act of obedience? Is it perhaps a radical act of obedience, which is really just faithfulness? How are you posturing yourself to say yes to the next thing God is inviting you to do? The next, maybe, harvest field that you're to enter into the mess of and to be salt and light. Maybe there's a prayer you've been praying for a while, in something you've been, you know, just banging the doors of heaven in relentless intercession for, and the Lord is nudging you this morning and saying, "I so honor that prayer, and I ask you to be the answer to it. Are you ready?" We've received the gift of grace. We've been bought with a price. We've counted the cost of discipleship. Let's throw off everything that hinders. Let's live in right relationships with one another. Let's reaffirm and make that simple yes commitment to King Jesus. Let's commit to see the Great Commission fulfilled, to be action figures and not bystanders. And we don't want to miss this moment in history. As I hope that's come across this morning, amazing things are happening. God is so faithful to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And let's be ready to do our part. Let's not be afraid. Let's not shrink back. Let's take courage, because we know his grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. One closing thought: in 2016 in the LA Coliseum, 70,000 people held up their shoes as a proclamation to be willing to go anywhere for the sake of the gospel. February 23rd in Orlando, 40,000 people did the same thing. And every day, people are doing that, metaphorically speaking. Being here this morning in worship and in communion, of taking the Sabbath day and setting it apart and coming before the Lord, that's saying yes to Jesus. So my prayer is that we would have courage in our hearts, our minds, our actions to fiercely follow Jesus and to go out into the harvest, because it is ready and the harvest is ripe and the workers are still too few. So let's go harvest together. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you're so faithful to tell us exactly what we need to know and what we need to do and how to do it. In James, it says to seek wisdom because you are ready and willing to give it. Lord, you give vision and you give strategy. And Lord, we remember that your yoke and your burden is easy and light, that there's still work to do, but you have done the heavy lifting. And Father, this is true of the harvest and of what is going on in the world. Father, please give us courage to say yes today to the thing that you might be putting on our heart to do. And would you go before us and lead us and guide us in that? Watch over us, protect us. When people would mock us, ridicule us, slander us, persecute us, Lord, would we know who we are in you and not be moved and not be shaken by that? I thank you for this community of believers this morning. Thank you for Winter Park Christian Church. It is such a beacon of light and life in the valley here. And I pray that you would strengthen and embolden all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.